This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's going to happen tonight? What's going to happen?
We're going to whoop their
Have you got Romo yet?
What's up, y'all? Welcome on into the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Wes Rucker coming to you from Fort Rucker Studio. Now, as you can tell by the truncated version of this intro, we got another breaking news edition of the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Let's go across town to that home daycare center, get to the one, the only Ryan Callahan. And Ryan, would you please be so kind as to tell us why we're having yet another one of these breaking news editions of the Go Vols 24/7 podcast?
Well, the calendar has flipped to July, and as we've said all along, the month of July was set up to be a big one for Tennessee, and here it is again. More news for the 2023 recruiting class. Tennessee has landed defensive lineman Tyree Weathersby of Douglasville, Georgia. A longtime Tennessee target got an offer from the Vols back in January, and really had been one of their most realistic options on the defensive line among the guys that are that were higher on their board over the past few months. He visited Tennessee for the first time back in early March for one of their junior days. And then, you know, ever since then, I think Tennessee has pretty clearly been the team to beat, but, you know, had some legitimate competition at times. And then, you know, South Carolina offered after he went to a camp there back in mid-June. But, you know, took his only official visit to Tennessee the weekend of June 24th, that final weekend of the month, and just, you know, pretty much made the decision by the end of that visit and went ahead and informed Tennessee's coaches then and just waited a little bit to announce. But definitely an important pickup. You know, we'll get into this more later, but certainly a position Tennessee needs to address, you know, a little bit heavier than they have ideally in the last couple classes because they've just had so much trouble kind of stacking numbers at that spot. So, a nice pickup here from a guy with more than 20 offers now that Tennessee's staff clearly likes pretty well and sees developing into a good player, even though he's, you know, not been at the biggest program, not necessarily been the biggest name guy on the recruiting trail. Someone Tennessee set its sights on months ago and is happy to have in this class.
Yeah, and we'll have to put a pin in that discussion on the numbers because I do agree with, especially with a vet and a proven guy like Rodney Garner as your defensive line coach. I would have thought that they would have probably stacked some bigger numbers there the past couple of years. Of course, there can be any number of reasons for that, and we will discuss them here in a minute. But let's talk more about Tyree Weathersby. This is a young man, 6'4", 251 pounds. Very clearly someone Tennessee staff is in on. He's got, what, I mean, thereabouts a couple dozen offers somewhere around there. But Tennessee has been in there for a long time, and really before a lot of the other really big programs. There's been a couple of – it's not a consistent theme, but there have been a few guys we've discussed lately in these breaking news pods that Tennessee was the first or one of the first kind of major programs to get in there and offer him. So what is it about this young man that they have seen, Ryan, before? Probably, you know, South Carolina just recently jumped in an offer. There have been some others, you know, SEC schools along the way to offer. What is it about this young man that Tennessee just saw and went, we really like this kid?
Well, and before we get too far, I should probably mention the school that will immediately get a lot of people's attention. And you have to preface this with they haven't offered, so you can't read too much into it because a school like this shows interest in a lot of players. But Alabama had legitimate interest in him, and he said was talking with him on a pretty regular basis for a couple months there, wanting to get him to camp. He did go to their O-line, D-line camp a couple weeks ago, did not come away with an offer. So that doesn't necessarily mean they weren't excited about him. Alabama looks at a lot of good players and probably has a bunch of guys that they like, but they're in the, you know, the way they recruit, they're looking for the absolute best and just clearly,
yeah, you got to be careful. Let's be honest. When you're Alabama, you got to be careful with an offer because a lot of kids would try to jump on that instantly. Let's just be real. Let's be realists here. Let's be adults and call it what it is.
Yeah. And when you go to an Alabama camp like that, you're usually competing against 4 and 5 stars because they make pretty much everybody camp there. So So it's no knock on him that he didn't get an Alabama offer. But I think the fact that they showed serious interest in him for a while shows you that there's clearly some talent there to be excited about. When you turn on his tape, you see that the first thing you see, he's a pretty active guy. And I think that's a common theme in Rodney Garner, defensive lineman. You know, you're not going to – people have asked me before, where are the big, you know, 315, 320-pound defensive tackles? We haven't seen Tennessee recruiting many of those. And I say – every time I'm asked that, I say there's a reason for that. I don't think you're going to see Tennessee, frankly.
Yeah, they don't
recruiting.
Want them. If you're going to be that big, you better be able to move like someone who's lighter.
That's it. And those are the guys who are five stars for a reason, because they have that sort of size, 300 plus, and they can move like they're 270. That's what you're looking for. Sure, you'd love to have size and athleticism, but given the choice between the two, the staff's going to err on the side of athleticism. So. A couple things about him that jump out is, yeah, he's active, quick, good hands. You see a lot of upside there as far as just his ability to disrupt, and you know, has a good size frame. I wouldn't say it's a massive frame, but certainly big enough that I could easily see him bulking up to 270 or so and being a guy who could maybe line up inside in some situations. But definitely, I think you know, kind of projects as more of like a strong side defensive end, I would say, at his current size. And he admitted as much when we spoke with him after his official visit to Tennessee, you know, kind of saying he doesn't see himself playing the Leo position in Tennessee's defense, that edge rusher kind of hybrid spot, now that they see him as a guy who's going to line up with his hand on the ground pretty much all the time. And that's where I think he fits in best. That's what he's done in his high school career for the most part. So I think a nice pickup in that regard. You know, got about the size you want, and that's a position Tennessee needs to start, you know, developing a little better depth there. You know, they got a few guys in this past class. Tyree West is one people are excited about. But they, you know, to get those true defensive ends, those strong side ends, they've not had just a ton of big pickups there. And we've seen they've done well with the edge rushers. You know, they've landed Caleb Herring. You know, Shondavian Bradley, five-star from Kansas City. They're heavily in the mix for him in his top three as he works toward a possible summer decision. So they've done well with the edge Leo type guys, but you've still got to get some defensive ends. They're going to have their hand on the ground and be out there, you know, in three and four man fronts or whatever you want to do. You've got to have those guys that are a little bit bigger and kind of more like the Tyler Barron types maybe. And that's what you have here, I think, in Tyree Weathersby. So a nice pickup here for Tennessee, but someone that, you know, clearly his stock just didn't quite take off, but he also does have some SEC teams that have jumped in there, including South Carolina, as you mentioned, which had him at camp a couple weeks back, offered after seeing him at camp. I mean, that's again, confirmation that schools are seeing him in person and they're liking him. They're signing off on him. So I think that's a good sign still for Tennessee, even though I'm sure some will look at the offer list and say, well, where's the Floridas, the Georgias? You know, Alabama didn't offer, Clemson. You know, schools like that haven't pulled the trigger. But sometimes that's not necessary. You find good – they're good players you can find, especially on the defensive line, where a guy like Rodney Garner signs off on you, I tend to give him the benefit of the doubt. And this is not a guy that they just, you know, saw at camp last week for the first time and decided they liked him. This is a guy they've recruited pretty heavily for months, and I think there's a reason they're pretty high on him.
Yeah, that's why I was asking that, because it seemed to me like, you know, Garner is pretty picky about the kinds of guys that he wants there. And honestly, when you have his CV, you can have that kind of latitude, right? I mean, the guy's been around forever. He's one of the better defensive line coaches in the business. So if he's going to sign off on you, you got to be a pretty good player. And that's why I was asking what they saw in January, I guess it was, that they offered him. And because that's high praise coming from that guy. You know, he pushes his guys hard, and he can develop a lot of guys when he gets them. But he also can be picky about the kind of guys he wants to begin with. And that tells you probably about his personality. I'm guessing that tells you about sort of physically sort of what he could become. And that's what I was going to ask you next, Ryan, is you've talked about this a little bit. But when you look at his size, I have seen this young man all of once from a pretty decent distance, not like eyeball to eyeball with him. But what I saw, I couldn't quite figure out, you know, is this going to be one of those guys who does put on that weight and kind of stays, you know, maybe a strong side end? Or, you know, could it be one of those guys who even he gets in the right strength and conditioning program, he bulks up and all of a sudden he's a pure interior guy? I mean, he just kind of, to me, has that sort of frame and that sort of size that at that age you just kind of don't know yet. But that's not a bad thing because you can get him in there. You can get him in your strength conditioning program, get him in your nutrition program, build him up, and then see what he is.
Yeah, and he's not so tall and so long that you would say he's going to be better suited to stay at end, because when you see a guy like that who's, you know, 6'5" or something like that, you know, TJ Searcy comes to mind for that, a four-star from Georgia that Tennessee is heavily in the mix for. He's a guy with maybe a little bit taller, and so I think he's a guy that is probably better suited to stay at defensive end for sure. Weathersby a little bit, just a tad shorter than him, closer to that 6'4" range, and that at that size, you know, a move inside down the road could be possible if he added enough size. But I think still very possible he remains a defensive end. I think has good enough size that he could really do either one. And it's just going to depend on where his body takes him. But when you see him, not the most physically, not the broadest shoulders and everything that make you think he's really going to just blow up in a weight room. But I've seen it before. I've seen guys that didn't
look like.
That's what
I'm saying. He was kind of tweener can be a bad word. But it just to me was kind of screaming, you know, tweener when I looked at him. Like, it's not that to say that you couldn't become either. It's just that I'm not sure, really.
Yeah, I would say that the safer bet is he looks like a defensive end to me. I mean, I think that's probably the safe bet in where he ends up. I think that's where he is now. And I think you know, he's going to safely put on 10, 20 pounds. And so somewhere in the 260 to 270 range, staying at defensive end, maybe even up to 275, 280, as we've seen with this staff. They're perfectly willing to play a bigger guy in the 280 range at defensive end as long as that athleticism is still there. So that strong side spot, you can still be pretty big. And as long as you're active enough and disruptive enough, have the length, I think they're willing to play in there. So I could definitely see him staying in that 265 to 275 range and playing at strong side defensive end. I think it's where he most likely ends up. But, you know, again, you just never know. Once these defensive linemen get in a weight room, they can really take off. And we've seen some guys, you know, Jay Blakely was one that I never quite saw playing as many defensive tackle snaps as he sometimes did. But again, another guy that at the end of the day, when he played most, has been a defensive end in his career. So I think that's where a guy like Weathersby fits in best. And I think a nice pickup here for Tennessee that potentially a little bit under the radar that could end up being a nice steal, because I think on film you see what this staff likes about him. You know, he just finds his way to the ball and gets off blocks. And at the end of the day, it's you know, it can be oversimplified, but it really is as simple as that. If you can get off blocks consistently and you play with a good motor and get off the ball well at the snap, you're going to have a chance to get there and make some plays. And he kind of consistently does that, even though he's not, you know, again, playing at the biggest level competition in Georgia. He still makes plays consistently and finds his way to the ball.
Yeah, Blakely is an interesting discussion point there, because I just remember looking at him and as he kind of kept getting bigger and bigger, not in a bad way, but in a good way, I was just kind of thinking, they're really going to keep him at end? Like, what's he doing there? Put him inside. What are you doing? And he was a pretty decently productive player out there at the end. So you never know. Every defense is different, needs different things, and Tennessee wanted him there, and he ended up being a pretty solid player there. So lots more to discuss about Tyree Weathersby, Tennessee's newest commitment. It's been quite a run here recently for the Vols in recruiting, and they're probably not done. Still got a lot more stuff going on here. This is a big month coming up, big week coming up, certainly lots and lots more to discuss about Tyree Weathersby, about Tennessee's defensive line situation, about the class, all that stuff. Just kind of the whole class globally speaking, I guess you could say. But before we do that, we're a little bit overdue for a break. Step away, pay some bills, listen to products, services, in-house ads, etc., and then we will be right back here on the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Hashtag ad
money! Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to the Go Vols 24/7 podcast, brought to you by whatever products, services, and in-house ads you just heard a moment ago. During that commercial break, Wes Rucker coming to you from Fort Rucker Studio, Ryan Callahan coming to you from across town there at his home daycare center, talking about another addition to Tennessee's commitment, or Tennessee's recruiting class, I should say, if I can get the words out of my mouth correctly. A big one, Tyree Weathersby, big one in more ways than one. 6'4", 251 pounds, defensive lineman from New Manchester High School down there in Douglasville, Georgia. As I say, with just about 75% or 80% of the people in the state of Georgia, sort of in the Atlanta area. You know, it's just kind of what you say. It's just kind of, at some point, it's going to be like Chattanooga's in the Atlanta area. It's just going to call it what it is. Lots and lots more to discuss about him, about Tennessee's defensive line situation, about the class in general, lots and lots of stuff. And we're going to get to that. But before we do that, just a quick reminder, quick suggestion, guys. If you could take about 60 to 90 seconds out of your day right now and go in there and rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast, that would help us out a lot. If you're just listening on the website, we love you. There's nothing wrong with that. There's no wrong way to consume the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. We do this for free, and we're happy to do it. It's a labor of love, no sweat off our backs. But the one thing that we ask you to do, and I say one thing, it's one series of things. Please go in there on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, TuneIn, Stitcher, anywhere in the world. You can cast a fine pod. You can find this Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Please go in there, rate, review, and subscribe, tell your friends, all that good stuff, so we can keep growing this thing and add more wolves to this wolf pack. If you're already doing that, thank you. We love you. If not, go f*** yourself. That's the motto. That's the mantra, ride or die. Ryan, Tennessee's defensive line situation in general, we've said this for years, however long we've been doing this podcast, however long we've been in this business, defensive linemen are often, aside from maybe quarterback, offensive tackle, and maybe even right up there with them, probably the hardest places to recruit. And just because if you're good, or if you could potentially be good, everybody's going to want you. It is hard to sign defensive linemen, to find good ones, to identify them, to get them on your campus, to get them committed, get them signed. It's a tough process. This is the first addition for Tennessee, I believe, for true defensive linemen sort of in this class. How many do you think Tennessee takes in this class, and how many does Tennessee maybe need to take in this class?
Well, worth noting, they do have one guy in this class who's still a two-way lineman, Trevor Duncan from Knoxville Catholic. I would still say that Trevor's long-term home is more likely to be on the offensive line, but he definitely wants to get an early look on the defensive line and fully expects to play there as of right now. And again, as we discussed at the time, you never know how that's going to work out. So potentially this could be the second defensive lineman in Tennessee's class.
Yeah, I said true defensive lineman because he is a two-way player, and I didn't want to do a disservice to the kid. I mean, we can think he's an O-lineman, but a lot of people thought Daniel Hood was an offensive lineman at the same high school, so you never know.
And we have Trevor Duncan rated as an athlete. So when you look at Tennessee's class on 24/7 Sports, anyway, there's a good reason to look at this and think that it's the first defensive lineman in Tennessee's class, because right now it essentially is for ratings purposes. But yeah, I do still think Duncan ends up on the offensive line, but that's even if it happens, it could take a year or two. So you just don't know. So they've got a couple big bodies there already in this class, off to a decent start, but that's, you know, it's always a tricky position. As you said, some of the big time battles at that spot are just hard to win. And we'll see, you know, if things change there in the NIL era, it might be even tougher to land guys. It might be easier for a school like Tennessee to become more competitive for big time guys. I think we've already
seen either way, it's more expensive.
Yeah, I was gonna say we've already seen examples of how it could be a little bit of both, right? We've seen Tennessee heavily in the mix for some good players, particularly in the state of Alabama. They've gone after some guys and been heavily in the mix for, you know, 4-star Hunter Osborne, 4-star Tamarion Parker, who committed to Penn State sort of unexpectedly a couple weeks back, and that was one that was thought to be a Tennessee Florida battle at one point before that, with an official visit to Tennessee set for October. What wouldn't, you know, count him off the out of the picture for Tennessee just yet, but you know, that's an example of one that didn't go Tennessee's way so far. But yeah, important for Tennessee to address that position, and Weathersby, a good start there gives you a nice foundational piece, but still they need some highly ranked guys to add on to that, to give them sort of a big piece of their future, I think that they can sort of build around, and you know, Parker hasn't worked out so far. We'll see if that changes. Osborne, you know, Hunter Osborne still very much in play for Tennessee as of the recording of this podcast. We'll see how that goes. He took an official visit to Tennessee that same weekend. Tyree Weathersby was on campus the weekend of June 24th. So they've got some other options there, but they've missed out on Vic Burley, the 5-star defensive lineman from down in Georgia, picking Clemson in June, and still, you know, still in the mix for a number of other guys. I mean, they've got plenty of options there. But you know, which ones are the most realistic? It's hard to say right now, because it's a couple junior college options: Will Whitson and Elijah Davis, that both visited Tennessee back in late May. I think Tennessee very much in the mix for both of them. Both of them talking about visiting again. You know, Whitson, I think Tennessee is probably in the best shape for right now, but it has some academic questions that he's got to sort out. So that how Tennessee approaches things with him will be interesting, given that situation. And then you've got a lot of high school guys that they've, you know, been in the mix for, gotten visits from. TJ Searcy, another really good possibility. Davin Hobbs, a 4-star from North Carolina, who got an offer from Tennessee after attending one of its camps just a few weeks ago, talking about taking an official visit to Knoxville this fall, most likely. So they've got several possibilities there, but still need more help at that position. And I think ideally, you know, you'd like to land a few more guys to go along with what they have in Weathersby and potentially Duncan. A couple of nice pieces there, you know, good sized guys, but people are still going to be the stargazers, quote unquote, especially, are going to be waiting to see, can Tennessee land some of these guys like Hunter Osborne? Can they flip a guy like Tamarion Parker, you know, anyone like that, will they come back into play even if they've already committed elsewhere or appear to be leaning elsewhere? And can Tennessee close on a guy like TJ Searcy, who took an official visit to Knoxville a few weeks ago? So lots of options out there, but we've kind of seen this. Oh, another name that emerged a few weeks ago, Wilkie Danaw out of Florida, already has scheduled an official visit to Tennessee this fall. So still lots of names again, but got to win some of those battles. And no question, after getting a couple good guys last year, I think they feel really good about for the future. Jordan Phillips, Tyree West, they did a pretty good job there, but got to start stacking more depth and not have to be thinking every year, okay, let's look to the transfer portal and see what's out there on the defensive line. They need to kind of start stacking some good classes there. And this year would obviously be a very good place to start, given the number of veterans that they have on the defensive line right now.
And trying to go the NIL route for defensive linemen is also pretty pricey in a lot of ways. I mean, and we can legitimately say pricey now, because the NIL era is changing things, and that is what it is. And defensive linemen are going to be really, really difficult to get through that avenue as well. Like, there's just never going to be an easy time to get defensive linemen. But bottom line is, Tennessee needs more in this class. Tennessee needs more in the program. It's just not a position. You want to have as many guys as you can have that you feel pretty good about at all times. Guys get hurt. You just need options. You need bodies there. You need ironing, sharpening iron in practice. You just need the best programs, the teams that compete for championships consistently. They're good there. They always are. We know that. They may not always be great, But they're usually at least pretty darn good there. And so Tennessee's just got to keep growing in that direction. Ryan, though, speaking of this class, just sort of, you know, in general, it looks to me like I can't remember maybe a time during the hype. I'm trying to remember in terms of momentum and kind of getting things going, but it just kind of seems like Tennessee's really got some momentum going now. I know it's kind of a tough question to answer, but since the time Heupel and his staff have been there, the kind of current momentum, what it feels like, the things that feel like they could be possible, it just feels like, I don't want to say things are changing, but it feels like things are heading in a much, much, you know, better position, I guess.
Definitely so. And I you know, we've kind of felt that way, or it's felt that way generally since Nico Iamaliava committed to Tennessee back in March, and no question that kind of jump started things. But I think you know, people still looking to see where this class is going to end up, how many other big time guys they're going to be able to land to go along with what they have. But they're in pretty good shape with a number of guys out there right now. And as they kind of build momentum, and this is, you know, they've had a few pickups now over the past week to be able to look ahead and still see several names out there who are looking to make decisions this month. And by the end of the summer, this is set up to be a nice little run for Tennessee. So yeah, I think they're in a good spot. Still got to address a lot of needs, plenty of work to do in this class. You know, that they're not anywhere close to full and really haven't fully addressed any specific position yet. So lots of work to be done. But yeah, as you see the names left on the board, the guys that Tennessee has a realistic shot at, and we'll talk about a couple of those in just a second. But definitely this is I think about as, you know, I've kind of said this over the past few months, probably about as good of a class as Tennessee's had at this time of year since the couple of years under Butch Jones, where they were really competitive on a national level recruiting wise, you know, where they had back-to-back top 10 classes in 2014 and 2015. They had some legitimate momentum at times those couple of years. And I would say it's the first time since then you've really felt good about where Tennessee is. And, you know, hey, let's call it what it is. NIL has at least probably had something to do with that, but it's not everything.
You know, honestly, I don't care. There's no shame in it. I wrote this column a while ago. There is no shame in it. It's freaking legal now. People need to get the hell over it. Stop clutching their pearls. This is the world now.
Well, it's that, but it's let's face it though. Tennessee would not have the ability to sell itself even with its perception or whatever, you know, is out there in terms of NIL opportunities. They would not be able to sell that if they didn't have something behind it. So I think it is a lot about Tennessee's program, where it looked to be last year and where people think it's headed. And frankly, you know, hey, having a five-star quarterback on board, that's why we said it was a game changer for Tennessee. It was instant credibility. And when you see other big time players like Ethan Davis and Caleb Herring in Tennessee's class, it's just easier to sell to guys that, hey, there's a bright future for Tennessee. And I think people are buying into it a little bit more right now. So I think overall, yeah, you're right. This is about as good of a spot as Tennessee's been in a few years. And I would say probably going back several years, because I think this has a legitimate chance of being Tennessee's first top 10 class, at least depending on which rankings you're looking at. I'm going by the 24/7 Sports composite team rankings, but potentially their first top 10 class since 2015. And that would be quite a step forward if Tennessee can end up there.
Yeah. And I think we're going to keep getting back to this theme. So we really got to get out of here in just a second. So I don't want to belabor the point, but it's kind of like when Iamaliava signed or committed to Tennessee, there was this talk of, oh man, this could cascade, and this could be like, could this like be like a top three, top five class? And people are going crazy. And we're like, man, I'm not sure about that. Then it kind of, you know, you don't really see too much momentum from that immediately. And then people start panicking and saying, oh, no, is this going to be a good class at all? And again, we're saying, guys, chill out, calm down. This really could still be a top 10 class. You know, it's like things get really, and this is what fans do. It's what we do. It's what I do with the Cubs all the time. You think like the worst and you think the best. And like all along, it's like, no, just there's some writing on the wall with this class that looks like it's going to be pretty good. Not going to be like, I'm not sure it's going to be like a, you know, one of these all-timers or anything, but it's looking like a pretty good class. And I think people need to realize that we've been trying to say that for a little bit here, is that they're going to be okay in this class. They've got a lot of hands and a lot of pies. They feel pretty good about a lot of things, and people probably just need to chill a little bit and be happy about this and say, hey, you know, this might be going in a better direction. I mean, feel how you want to feel. I'm just saying that's something that I think. But Ryan, before we get out of here, Did anything I just say make sense at all, or was it stupid? And also some things coming up, because I think there are some big things kind of coming in this month, and it's just it looks like it's a big time for Heupel and his staff.
It is, and this is, you know, we've said it before. This is commitment month. Even last year when Tennessee didn't appear to have a lot of momentum, it made some hay in the month of July. So the month of July, you can kind of just pencil it into your calendar these days. It's going to be a busy month for commitments, even if you don't necessarily get a lot of 4- and 5-star type players. You're going to have to get players to start filling in your class.
Which used to be my only slow month of the entire year, basically. So thank you all for that. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. You know, you can thank the NCAA recruiting calendar a little bit for that. And also just college coaches wanting to kind of know what half their class or so, or a little bit more ideally, is going to look like by the end of the summer and going into the season. So you don't have too much work to do in the fall. But yeah, it's sort of just the way of the world these days. But yeah, to your point previously, I definitely think there was always reason for excitement when once Tennessee got Nico Iamaleava. Definitely had an opportunity based on that to build on it. He's opened some doors. He's gotten some, helped them get some guys on campus who otherwise might not have even looked at Tennessee. And there are multiple reasons for that. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, most kids, as I said at the time, you know, I someone was kind of giving me a hard time about that at the time I said it, like, you know, because making it seem as though I was sort of wishy-washy on whether Tennessee was actually going to make an impact or get some sort of impact from landing Nico. And why I said it at the time the way I had said was, you know, we'll see, because there's a difference between getting guys to visit and landing guys because of a 5-star quarterback. I think some people maybe got a little carried away at first and thought everyone's going to immediately start flocking to Tennessee. Yeah, but the problem is...
Yeah, that's what I was saying or trying to say earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, the problem is, you know, Miami's now got a 5-star quarterback commitment, Jaden Rashada. You know, there are other 5-star quarterbacks, Texas getting Arch Manning. Alabama's not going to get a 5-star quarterback in this class as of right now, it looks like. Georgia's not going to get the 5-star quarterback it wanted in this class maybe. So, you know, not everybody gets one. There aren't many to go around. But the bottom line is there are other elite quarterbacks every year, and getting one does not guarantee that you are going to get 15, 20 really good players to go around them, but it opened some doors. And again, it gave Tennessee a lot of credibility at a point in time where Tennessee, let's face it, has not made a big splash nationally in quite a while. It's been several years. They were looking into the abyss a year ago. I mean, let's call it what it is. This program was in a pretty bad spot at the beginning of the Josh Heupel era because it had just been thrown into an NCAA investigation that was the last thing Tennessee needed coming off years of not contending for championships, and it was a tough time to take things over. But they to their credit, they're recruiting well now. They're not back. They're not ready to challenge Georgia and Alabama for championships. That's not going to be an overnight process. But they are absolutely in the mix for a good amount more quality players than what they have been in recent years, and that is a credit to the staff and the work they've put in and a lot of things. So I think Tennessee is definitely in a pretty good spot. This month should be pretty active. And we know right now with certainty that there are a couple things to watch here in the next few days. Christian Conyer, the big time cornerback target from Bowling Green, Kentucky, announcing his decision on Sunday. That has been a Tennessee Kentucky battle for quite a while now. Tennessee, I think, is in a pretty good spot there coming off his official visit to Knoxville last weekend. So that one is, you know, certainly worth watching Sunday. That's his mother's birthday, so he's had that commitment date set for a few months now. And you know, don't expect Tennessee to miss out on him. But Kentucky has made things just interesting enough in recent weeks that you don't take anything for granted. But I would still say Tennessee is the favorite leading up to that one. And then on Monday, 4th of July, as there almost always are, you know, there are guys who want to commit on Fireworks Day.
America.
And so Tennessee has a couple of targets announcing now on Monday. One of them, obviously, one of the biggest names left on the board for Tennessee, Francis Maungoa, the 5-star offensive lineman from IMG Academy in Florida. That one, as of the recording of this podcast, is still very much an open debate as to who the team to beat might be. And I've heard things in recent days about 4 different teams having a legitimate shot at him. The only team that hosted him on official visit that right now I would say I don't have any real reason to think he might end up there is Florida. I've heard at different times talk about Alabama.
Some issues down there in Gainesville that they're sorting through at the moment.
Well, and that's not to say that's a knock on them, but just in this particular case, they're not going to get him. But yeah, Florida's a different discussion for another day. But yeah, Alabama, you know, got the first official visit. I think football alone, if that's if that was the only consideration, I think no question he is very interested in Alabama and always has been, and his father has been as well. But he's got some, you know, it's a big family decision for him. Did they want to stay in American Samoa? His family's from over there. He's playing at IMG, you know, this year, but it, you know, his family's back over there. Do they want to move stateside with him, or do they want to stay where they are? That's a big part of this discussion. He's got connections almost everywhere he goes. You know, he's interested in maybe having a Samoan culture, or at least some connections wherever he goes. There's a lot that goes into this decision. So, you know, Joe Salavea,
which
at
again
Miami,
is a big, big, big deal for a lot of, not to stereotype, but for a lot of Samoan, and you know, Pacific Island families, that's a big deal.
Well, and let's put it this way: during his official visit to Tennessee, and these are the types of things you don't necessarily think about. You know, his dad's on the official visit, and he mentioned that, you know, Nico Iamaliava's grandfather being in town with him on the official visit was a big deal, because that gave him someone to speak with, because his father doesn't speak very good English. Mm-hmm. So just having those connections sometimes can be such a big deal to make people feel more at home. And when they're coming from a different culture like that, that's not necessarily prevalent in that part of the country. So that is a big factor, and just sort of the feeling at home, and just at the end of the day, thinking he can get to the NFL is still going to be a huge part of this decision. I think he wants the football side. You know, he said mom looks into the academic side, dad looks into the facilities and all the things they have to offer, the bells and whistles that they're going to help you train. At the end of the day, Francis, he is most interested in can he be developed and get to the NFL, and where can he have the best chance of succeeding? So he's got a lot of good choices, but Alabama, USC, Tennessee, Miami, I think all four of those at different times have had reasons to think that they have a legitimate shot. So that's going to be a fascinating battle down the stretch. And then that, on top of that, on Monday, one to watch in the 2024 class now, that popped up here just recently, 5-star athlete Jonathan Echols of IMG, also of IMG Academy in Florida, previously played at Heard County High School in Georgia.
Yeah, this kid's awesome. This kid is awesome.
Wes got a chance to see him a little bit firsthand. So he worked at tight end at Tennessee's camp. He was, you know, at least until recently, rated an edge rusher on 24/7 Sports. That may or may not change here soon, but that is, he is a two-way, or was a two-way standout at his school, and definitely wants to play tight end in college. As of right now, Tennessee recruiting him as a tight end, and Tennessee got him on campus for the first time the weekend of June 25th, got him on campus for more than 2 days, and I think he really liked the visit, so he's announcing his decision on Monday, and Tennessee's got a real shot there. So hasn't officially named any finalists, but coming off that Tennessee visit, you'd have to say the Vols are one of the main contenders. So those all worth watching in the next few days, and I won't even start down the list. I should throw in Jeremiah Cobb. I can't rule out. He's also announcing here soon. Can't rule out that he's a possibility for Tennessee as of right now, but that's been an Auburn-Clemson-Tennessee battle for the 4-star running back from Montgomery, Alabama. And then a bunch of other guys announcing throughout the month of July, you know, linebacker Jalen Smith on July 10, and plenty more that as of the recording of this podcast, have not announced their decision date. So a lot to keep track of, but those are just what to watch over the next few days before we have probably another edition of this podcast before too long.
Yeah, and I think we'll probably have more time to discuss some of those other guys. And if there's ever a time where the Echols kid, if he ends up choosing, you know, Tennessee, there's a lot going on in recruiting. You never know. But just he wowed me, and I'll probably tell that story one day of being like, man, look at that freaking guy. That's the gist of it. But there's plenty more to discuss, plenty more days to do this. As you know, we're probably going to have a bunch of these over the next couple of weeks, this month in general. Lots and lots of stuff going on. So stay tuned right here. Ryan, I think we've gone way overboard, but I think we're okay. I think we've gotten the point across. You got anything else to add?
No, that's a good place to leave it. And we'll chances are we will talk to you all soon as this busy month continues. But Tyree Weathersby getting things off to a good start here in the month of July for the Vols.
Well, thanks for the time, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks, Wes.
And there's the button. And now I can say, guys, thank you for listening to this edition of the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. As always, we always say it, but we always mean it. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. You can find all of us on social media. I'm Wes Record 24/7 on Twitter. Ryan Callahan is Ryan Callahan 24/7 on Twitter. Patrick Brown is P Brown 24/7 on Twitter. And Grant Ramey is Grant Ramey on Twitter. If you want just Tennessee news in your feed, nothing else, get that at twitter.com/govals247. You can also go to facebook.com/govals247, and you can get tons of stuff there throughout the day, all day, every day. But if you want that best, most delicious East Tennessee Smoky Mountain spring water directly from the tap, go get that at govals247.com, the best site on all of Al Gore's internets to get coverage of Tennessee football, football recruiting, basketball recruiting, baseball, tons of stuff going on there these days, obviously. Lady Vols coverage, where Maria Cornelius does an excellent job all year covering all things Lady Vols for us all the time. We got two forums that run around the clock 24/7, as the name suggests. We got the Checkerboard and the Summit, where you can go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you can discuss anything you want that is not political or religious in nature with Tennessee fans across the world, pretty much every freaking time zone that exists. We've got somebody there. We got people up at different hours of the day. We got all kinds, any time of day, anytime you go there, you're going to find a bunch of people on there talking Tennessee athletics, talking SEC stuff, talking pro sports, talking life, advice with kids, what to get spouses for their anniversaries, lawn maintenance. You never know what people are going to be talking about on there. And it'll be anything that's not political or religious in nature. Anything else right there on the board for you to discuss. And you can get all that for less than the price of one mediocre lunch per month after a 7-day free trial. That is all that it costs. And after you pay or get that seven-day free trial, after that, you get us that low rate. That's one mediocre lunch per month. But you don't just get GoVols 24/7 with that. You get access to Paramount Plus with that for free in perpetuity. You also get access to a growing behemoth of a streaming platform that has every show CBS has ever done commercial-free, tons of exclusive stuff that you can only find, like, you know, 1883, Picard, Evil, Star Trek, all kinds of stuff that you can only find on Paramount Plus. You got new movies. You got classic movies, old blockbuster franchises, you know, comedies, dramas, horror, everything, stuff for the kids. All of it, and stuff from the archives of CBS, obviously, and MTV, BET, Comedy Central, Nickelodeon, Smithsonian, all of it, right there, something for the entire family, and live sports, SEC sports, NFL sports, you got UEFA Champions League, UEFA Europa League, Serie A, French soccer, PGA Tour, you get everything on there, and you get all of that, and our site, all of it, for just about $100 and change a year. One of the best deals you can possibly find. And if you don't do it, I don't know what's wrong with you. Go do that. Don't be a fool. Go do that. If nothing else, guys, you should hear from us in a few days. So until then, try to be good to each other. Try to have basic human empathy for people out there in the world. There's not enough of that these days. There's too many a-holes. We don't need that. Be good. See ya.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.